And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to the Daily Ding. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. With me, as always, on Monday nights, is my good friend Mark Schindler. Mark, the Denver Nuggets are going to the NBA Finals. They beat the Lakers 113-111. And what was a really fun game? I know the Nuggets kind of pulled away and proved to the world that they are the best team in the Western Conference. But the Lakers had a lot to say before the end of this game. I was actually quite impressed with the Lakers. Even though the Lakers got swept in this series, I thought that they did quite well. And especially in this game, this was I really enjoyed this game from the jump.
Yeah, I mean, that makes two of us. Just to speak on the Lakers really quick, exactly like you mentioned, I mean, this was LeBron's best game of the playoffs. It was his best game of the series. It felt very much like one of those, he's not going to lose tonight. But honestly, I think that this series and in general, like I picked the Nuggets to win headed into the series. That's what happened. I think that you just saw like, okay, as much as this team was able to pull some things together, find some things late, the Nuggets were just better. Like that, there's no shame in that. That's just where this team was at. I really enjoyed the Lakers run post trade deadline. I'll be interested to see what happens next year, but yeah, man, this is so much about just the Nuggets were awesome. Like Nikola Jokic hit two or three shots. I mean, he hits the one fading left slot, falling backwards way over his head, three-pointer eventually, and it's just like that. I mean, it's like it's one
well,
of the
they
games
called
where
it a
like,
two because it looks so strange because he kind of yeah. traveled a long distance and his foot was kind of sliding back, but it was in the air, and he's like doing this like one-legged ball behind his head.
For anybody who wasn't watching it, it was kind of like if you've ever seen the Karate Kid. Like when he's practicing like the hidden crane move on top of the you know, like when he's over at the beach, and that's what it felt like. And watching that in the moment, it was just so awkward. It swished. That was wild, man.
That's one of the things about Jokic is like the more awkward and the more like strange situation you put him in, the more success he's gonna have. And he proved that in so many ways. And he had that drive there at the end of the game, which he just kind of just lumbered to the rim and just got there. And you talk about like LeBron, how it's like LeBron wasn't going to lose. It looks different when Jokic is not going to lose, but Jokic was not losing this game. The Nuggets were not losing this game, whether it be through his passing, which like he was finding Aaron Gordon just on cuts and slips all night. Gordon was awesome tonight in multiple ways. He was kind of poking the bear a little bit in the first half with LeBron, and LeBron played great in the first half. I think he was 11 of 13 from the field. And then Bron, it's just age. Like I don't want to give this like, oh, LeBron, like LeBron's falling off. Like, yes, he's 38 years old. He's 4 of 12 in the second half, which he just slowed down. There was just a difference. Second half, the Lakers just looked different from the jump. And the Nuggets, I think part of it is the Nuggets finally put the focus on the way that they played basketball and not on the officials. Because I felt like too much of the first half was too much focus on, hey, make sure that you call the 3 seconds, the defensive 3 seconds. Hey, wait, you didn't call this on us, but you called this on – like there was so much focus, I thought, from the players and the coaching staff on the way the game was officiated that they were almost playing a separate game in the first half. Because the Lakers got a few favorable calls, but they're at home, and they got the home crowd behind them. This happens in, like, every NBA game. I don't know why they were kind of throwing a fit about it, and it's fine. But I felt like in the third quarter, they took care of the basketball a lot better. They had 0 turnovers versus 6 they had in the first half. And they just played with more force in the third quarter. And then, like, once they did that, They erased that 15-point deficit, and it was nip and tuck till the end. But I honestly would have been surprised after I think they took a lead 82-81 with that KCP and one. And I was like, okay, I would be pretty surprised now if the Lakers actually win this game, even though it was, I mean, this is a 2-point game there at the end. The Lakers had a chance, but it just felt like the Nuggets are going to win this game.
Well, yeah, exactly like you're mentioning. I mean, it felt like in watching that first half so much, like obviously like the Nuggets offense was working and things were flowing there, but the Lakers had their best half of the series and they were hitting everything. LeBron was getting everything he wanted and they were still, they were barely up by 10 at halftime. So I think like in watching that, I was like automatically like, all right, you know, I think it's all it takes is a couple of tweaks from Nuggets. And to be fair too, like, I didn't like how you know me. I don't really complain about the refs. I think this is like the refs were bad in this game on both sides. I did not like how they called this at all. They were really inconsistent with contact, and it was weird. But
I don't think it affected the outcome of the game.
Oh yeah, I don't think it affected the outcome of the game. But I think like it just overall it was not a huge fan.
It was a sloppily officiated game. Is the way that I would put it. I did not enjoy it. There were definitely calls on both sides, like you said, where the ball stopped checking. Really? Like, is this really what we're doing here? But
yeah.
What else stood out? I mean, LeBron had 28 points in the first half of this game, finished with 40, which is obviously incredible. I mean, guys that are his age don't do this. But he definitely slowed down. And Jokic just kind of kept going. I felt like the Nuggets did such a good job of just hanging around. I felt like Jamal Murray was probably a little bit underrated in this game with the way that he helped the Nuggets hang around in the first half in particular. Where it's like, man, the Lakers are playing so well. They're hitting all their threes. They're playing great defense. And then you look up like, oh, they're only up 8.
Yeah. And yeah, especially in the first half, it felt like he had quite a few shots where it's like, that's just enough. That's just what they needed. Like you mentioned with Aaron Gordon, I thought he was so good as a cutter tonight. And like, I mean, he always is, but it just felt a little bit different. Like Jokic was, that was the one thing. Like I was a little bit hesitant coming out because in that first half, I thought Jokic was pretty rough defensively. Like he really wasn't contesting things in the paint. Like, to be fair, like he's been really good defensively throughout this series, but yeah, tonight was not in the first half. But you get him coming out this aggressive on the offensive end, really looking for his own shot. And like, I mean, that's where it parlays out at the end with, I mean, that drive that he had, like basically weight rooming Anthony Davis was wild. And I just want to say this too. Because, like, I do think there's going to be a bunch of, like, oh, well, AD just didn't want 80 this, 80 that. I thought AD played well tonight. Like, his shot didn't fall the way that he wanted to. I do think he settled for a couple of mid-rangers. But, like, no, this is about Nikola Jokic is arguably the best player in basketball, and he just beat the Lakers. It's not about somebody not wanting it more. It's about a team being more talented. So I do just want to dispel that because I feel like we're going to see a lot of that over the next day or two. And, no, it should just be – this is the Nuggets playing really goddamn well for 4 games, beating a team that a lot of people picked to beat them. And it's because they were more talented and they're a better team. Like, it's that simple.
Yeah. And this is where continuity in the NBA pays off. Is year after year, they bring basically the core of this team back together and give it another shot. They try different role players around them. I think KCP obviously was spectacular in this game. He hit a few threes in the first half that also kept them in it. Had that and one that got them the lead finally. Bruce Brown has played a vital role for them. Even Jeff Green only gave him 10 minutes. You know, Christian Brown, who's been somebody who they have played a lot in this playoffs, he didn't play tonight. But they just have the right mix of players. And, and it's also age, too. Like, that's the other thing, is that I think we rush, and we're doing a little bit with the Celtics. We've done this with the Celtics for years now, and we're doing it with them now even. But age and experience matters so much in the NBA, especially in the playoffs, to get to this level. And it's like, we question Jokic, we question Jamal Murray, we question what the team should be doing, but it's like right now, they're in their primes. Like, right now, Jamal Murray and Jokic are entering their primes. Like, this is when almost everybody did it, including LeBron. Like, this is the age. This is where teams move into, okay, now we're ready to win. like in a real way. And so a lot of times we kind of want to rush teams into whatever, or say like, oh, they just can't do it. They need to trade Jamal Murray and they do this. I just want to praise the Denver Nuggets for not rushing it, for not firing their coach when there was disappointment, for not caving to pressure that exists like around the NBA sphere. I mean, they've done really well. The Aaron Gordon trade was spectacular. I think getting KCP was spectacular. They've just pushed the right buttons to finally get to this level and make it to the NBA Finals.
It's you make such a great point, because I mean I tweeted it partially as a joke, also because Paul Millsap is one of like my 10 favorite players of all time. But, like, I tweeted out like the domino of like Paul Millsap signs 3 for 90 in July of 2017 to Nuggets 2023 Western Conference Finals running. Like, to be real, like, that is kind of part of it. That's,
yeah.
2017 is the year that, if I remember correctly, 2017 is the year when they play the Wolves, lose in the quote-unquote playing game.
Yep.
And then Paul was like, for me, in my lifetime, that was the biggest free agent that Denver had ever signed. Like, Paul is coming off of multiple all-star years.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, is in his prime, goes there. Obviously is not on this team now, but like, just like when you think about that, like you're mentioning, like when you have a team where like, okay, Jokic has asserted himself, is starting to become like the guy in Denver and develop into more. You have obviously, you know, Gary Harris and Jamal are kind of coming along there. And it just takes like the way that this team has developed over the last half decade, which is wild to say half decade, but
yeah.
I mean, that's, yeah, time is wild. Looking at that is really remarkable, because like you mentioned, like the AG trade gets made 2 years ago, and then Michael Porter Jr. And then Jamal has an injury.
Yep.
Like eight games in, for like through those eight games, they look just incredible. They look like they're going to win the finals that year. And then Jamal gets that injury. And then the next year, all right, they're getting right. And then Michael Porter Jr. has the injury.
Yep.
And like everything just kept like conflating and being an issue. And then finally this year, they got the right mix of vets. They got the right mix of guys being healthy. And like, we didn't even mention, I thought Michael Porter Jr. was fantastic in this series. So good in his role.
Yeah.
Like, the box score wasn't pretty for him tonight, 5 of 16, but he did everything that they needed for him. He was incredible on the glass, which I think that was one of the things that I really appreciated from him this entire series.
Yeah.
I thought his defense was really solid, and he just took and made enough shots that it mattered. And like, I mean, even like, it's subtle. It's not even stuff that really shows up necessarily on even in tracking as much, but like, he's just getting into the paint a little bit more off closeouts. Like, he's doing enough to keep plays going. And it's the kind of stuff where like, you look 2 or 3 years ago and you're like, is it going to be enough? Is it this? Is it that? And it just, like you mentioned, they had the patience they got here. And it's been really fun to watch.
Well, he hit some timely threes too, to like get them back into this game. And just the willingness to take 10 threes in a game, you need those guys.
You need some unconsciousness, yeah.
That's how you provide spacing, like, honestly, because he's so big and you have to close out to him. And it can't just be a normal closeout because he has such a high release and he's such a big player on the wing. They got to get guys like, you got to be there. And that to me was such a big deal. There was one point in this game where I did think, okay, maybe the Lakers are going to get it. It was back-to-back charges that were called on Jokic. LeBron took, like, came in and took your classic, like, I'm sliding in for the charge, as Jokic is kind of lumbering to the basket. And then he gets Jokic with just an offensive foul on the next possession. And then AD grabs an offensive board, dunks it. We're tied at 102. And that was one of the moments where I thought, okay, maybe this is where they can get it. Maybe this is where the Lakers can actually take control of the game again. But then it's just like, the Lakers played well. They played really hard, but there were moments where they got in their own way. And they did this twice tonight, is that they fouled a 3-point shooter. And AD like fouls Jamal Murray on the next play. And like, that was just such a big bummer. And that was also the moment where I realized that, oh my gosh, the Lakers haven't hit a three in the second half. You know, like, they're not getting anything from deep, which was also one of the big reasons why the Nuggets are able to climb back in. Then Aaron Gordon on the next play slips to the basket for an and-one dunk. Then the next play is that Jokic three which was a bang three, where he's this one-legged ball behind his head, like we mentioned up at the top of this. And that was that really felt like it was about it. I know the Lakers made another run at it, but that run there after what could have been really detrimental, and credit Jokic for staying engaged in the game and for not being afraid, because like he gets five fouls. There's a lot of guys that get five fouls and they just disappear. Like they just become a ghost. But Jokic is like, no, no, no. Like this is still my game. He let LeBron get by him for a layup, but for the most part, like that was it was Jokic's game down the stretch, and he really closed it for him.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Yeah, no, it was really fun to see him take over, especially too because, like you mentioned, with those, he still, you know, lets his frustrations get the best of him sometimes.
Yeah.
I think, you know, looking at there was some ire over the back-to-back fouls. I thought the first one wasn't really debatable. Like, I think he should have just taken the three. That LeBron's feet looked pretty damn set to me.
Yeah.
That second one was not debatable. Like, you can question whether or not LeBron's feet were set, but it was a very blatant push-off. Like, and I think it sounds dumb, but, like, with that being his fifth foul, with how many games I've seen where, you know, in the past where – that can devolve very quickly into Nikola getting attacked or getting, you know, just he's getting in his own head and acting out. Like, I think to see him do this was nice. And it's just kind of, again, like kind of a culmination of, like you mentioned, of years of kind of trial and error to get to this point.
Yeah. What a huge moment for the Denver Nuggets to get to the NBA Finals with this squad. It looks like they're going to be playing the 8th seed Heat. I mean, I would be pretty surprised if the Celtics kind of climb back into this, but we're going to have what is going to be a Nikola Jokic, Jimmy Butler NBA Finals, and I am fascinated to break that one down. We won't do it tonight, but I am absolutely fascinated to break that one down. Mark, what else from this game stood out to you? Anything else before we get out of here?
Do I have anything else on tonight? I don't think I have too much else on tonight. I think mainly I'm just going to be interested to see what the Lakers do in the offseason and how they try and tweak things. And
you think it'll involve anybody that was sitting courtside tonight?
Maybe. That stuff's so wild.
Can you believe that Kyrie Irving is sitting courtside?
I mean,
for this game?
But I mean, also
yes, we can believe it. But it's just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Also, we do have to say, quick shout out to Carmelo Anthony, man.
Hey.
I tweeted this out today just because, like, I don't know, my birthday's coming up, so I've been thinking about time just in general a lot, not to get, like, all sentimental on the Daily Ding, but, like, I don't know. I just remember when I was, like, probably 10, and there was an episode of Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide, and Carmelo Anthony, it was, like, Ned finds Carmelo like a signed pair of Carmelo Anthony shoes in the school lost and found, which makes absolutely no sense. But like Mello's in the episode with like a brief cameo, and the whole episode is like just about morality and shit. And like I don't know. For me, Carmelo Anthony's been like he's been a central part of my life since I was, you know, like 5 or 6 when he and LeBron got drafted. And like, I mean, I don't know. Like, it hits weird with Melo, and I think it just makes me think even more so. Like, especially with LeBron getting swept in the conference finals, like, makes me think even more. Like, holy shit, what is that? I have no idea what I'm going to feel when LeBron retires someday. Shout out to Melo for just an awesome career. One of my favorite players to ever watch, especially in playing 2K. But
yeah.
It's kind of wild to talk about Carmelo Anthony retiring, but here we are.
Yeah. I know. Melo is awesome. So he was
what
here.
I got to ask, what is your favorite OKC Melo story, if there is a positive one?
Oh, I mean, I will just say this, that Carmelo Anthony is easily the coolest person I've ever stood next to in my entire life. And I've stood next to like Paul George and Westbrook and Chris Paul and Shea and all these guys. But there's nobody like Carmelo Anthony. And it's because when you're talking to him, he makes you also feel cool. Like there's those people in life that are like super cool, but they make you feel like you're like 2 feet tall.
Yeah.
Melo is there, and when you're standing with him, he makes everybody like in his circle feel cool, whether you like really know him or not. And he was just the greatest guy to deal with all season here in OKC, even though like things didn't go that well for him here. Like he was always super cool to deal with, like as media. And it's like I'm always very thankful for that with him. He's always a good quote. I mean, obviously the media day stuff with him, you know, talking about not wanting to come off the bench and everything was just hilarious. Like he's just constantly, he's a story all the time. I wish he was here a little bit longer, just cause he was so fun. And like you saw from his video that he released today, he did not include Oklahoma City as a part of this video today.
To close out for us too, you have to, I think the best thing that I've come out of from today, it's Fred Katz obviously worked at the Oklahoman at the time.
Norman Transcript. Fred Katz.
When I covered Melo in OKC, I had to write from locker room post game to get stories in for the 10:30 deadline. So at like 10:27, Melo would come over and heckle me for fun. One time he pointed at the screen and said, "That sentence is trash. Also, you got to type faster than that." And that's just, I don't know. For anybody who's ever kind of been having needed to file a story late, that is hilarious. And just in general for having any interaction like that. So I think it's cool.
Yeah, no, that definitely like speaks to the way that he just acknowledging the media as people, like outside of like a scrum or something. It's like definitely something Melo did all the time. And that's kind of what made everybody really enjoy being around him, because he would do that. He'd review just randomly and you're just like, "Oh, this is Carmelo Anthony talking to me." But big shouts to Melo. And big shouts to Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. Beating the Lakers 113-111, heading to the NBA Finals. Boy, do they get a lot of rest, because the NBA Finals are not for a while. like a week and a half of rest before they get to play, which is great. The Miami Heat, we will have another show for you guys tomorrow night after that Heat game. If the Heat beat the Celtics, they will also have a long rest. So we'll have two very well-rested squads before the NBA Finals, which could be very, very fun. I have no clue how to predict anything. I've been trying to predict everything in the playoffs up until this point. Might as well stop, because it is not working.
Yeah, my predictions have been honestly, I will say I had the Nuggets going to the Finals. The Eastern, we won't talk about the East, but yeah.
Boy, I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Tampering will be up next. Mark, send us out.
Ding, ding, y'all. Stay mellow.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.